You are altogether beautiful, my darling. There is no flaw in you. Peace and blessings to you, family. So good to have you here. If you are here for the first time, welcome to A Word with Kukuletu. I am Kukuletu Nkapo, your host and the creator of this podcast, and I'm so happy to have you here. Obviously, if you're returning, welcome back, welcome back. You know how we do things. So I'm just recording this episode a little bit on a limb, but there's some things I wanted to get off my chest as per usual, so that's what I'm going to be doing, and I hope that it will be of value of you, or to you rather, and that there will be something in this that will be helpful to you. I've been reflecting a lot on the concept of beauty, amongst other things, of course. But beauty has been a big one, and my relationship to the concept, my understanding of the concept of beauty, how whether I perceive myself as beautiful or not has affected me throughout my different life journeys and things that I've gone through. So I just want to talk a little bit about that. I don't expect this to be a super long episode, but you know, in case it is, just get comfy and let's have a chat. Okay, so I want to talk about the concept of beauty, and more specifically, as you can see from the title, we're going to be talking about beauty as a curse. And I know that might sound contradictory for some people, but that's why I want to kind of delve into this idea of beauty. Now, for as long as I can remember, I do not see myself as beautiful or attractive or whatever you might call it. And I've talked a little bit about this in the other episode, but there's a lot of things that contributed to that. I think that in general, my internal dialogue when I was younger was maybe not the best in certain points of my childhood. There's also another part about it, which is that I was always like a bigger kid, you know, even now, like I'm not little Miss Skinny Minnie, although I've definitely, you know, made a lot of changes to my lifestyle and, you know, but I'm just not Miss Skinny Minnie. Like, I don't know if I could ever be a size zero. Actually, maybe I could. Actually, never say never. But yeah, so there's a lot of things that what I'm trying to say is that there's a lot of things about my physical being that contributed to me not feeling beautiful and how people would react to that. Kids obviously can be really mean, you know. They know what your insecurities are, and it's just because of, I think most of the times it's not even so malicious. I just think that children can so easily sense things. They can sense certain things, you know, and take advantage of that, you know, for whatever reasons, in that immature state of being. And for me, I think after a culmination of those experiences, I kind of understood or embedded into myself that, okay, you know, there's beautiful people and they're not beautiful people, and you just fall into the latter category. This all up until, I mean, I want to also add, let me add another part, because this will be important for the conversation. For me, that's why I always focused on other things as sort of a coping mechanism, or a sort of like, you know, if I'm not gonna excel in this area, then I at least need to be the smartest girl in the room. You know what I'm saying? I need to be the smartest person, fuck girl. I need to be the smartest person in the room, or I need to be the, you know, whatever the case may be, I'm going to be the most charismatic, or I'm going to be the most helpful, or I'm going to be, you know, just finding other things that I was good at, in order to make up for the parts where I was not good at. And that's where I think that journey of feeling not beautiful really served me well, because I couldn't rely on just how I looked, you know what I'm saying, to be socially accepted and to be welcomed into different spaces. I had to rely on other qualities. I had to rely on my personality. I had to rely on my brain, you know, other things that would get me the similar result of being socially accepted, valued, for whatever the case may be. So I think that was a big part of it for me as well. And that was a big lesson in that. All of this kind of changed when I was probably, let's say, all of this changed at a certain point, you know, and I think we all go through that puberty, the glow up, right? That puberty glow up will do some things for you. So shout out to puberty and shout out to that glow up. So things changed, right? My appearance started to change, and I don't even know if it's that my appearance, I mean, I think that's obviously a big part of it, you know, you mature and you grow more into your face, and you know, a lot of things about attractiveness and the perception of beauty start to make more sense, and you know, you start to take more control over it, if I can say that. The problem is that when you kind of go through that shift from, I call it the ugly duckling shift, right? So when you go from being an ugly duckling to a swan, so to speak, that can actually be very unnerving, right? And it's crazy because what you think you want, at least for me, what I thought I needed and what I thought I was missing for a lot of my life was like being beautiful or being attractive to a certain degree. Like, I mean, that perception changed a while ago, but you know, still recent enough that it's like, you know, it was a recent change, you know. And one thing I found really interesting about that was I didn't expect being beautiful to have its own like curses or its own cons, if I can say it like that. I didn't expect that being perceived as beautiful could have its own baggages. And I'm going to talk about a few of those things. And before I even get there, I'm like, I don't want to make it seem like I'm against, you know, the girls who want to be beautiful. And I mean, what do you mean? Like, I value beauty. I really do. I value how I look, and I value presenting myself well and looking good and feeling good, because that is so important for your own mental well-being, for your own sense of self, for your own dignity to a certain extent. I really do believe, you know. And there was a point where I didn't care about any of that stuff. And I saw how it also negatively impacted me, you know, just being like, oh, I don't care about that. I don't care about how I look. And then that has its own negative implications. And I also want to add that that's a lot of the times a symptom of a much deeper problem, you know, oftentimes with our mental health and whatever struggles we may be going through, which is normal and it's okay to struggle with those things. It's just that I want us to understand that not caring about your appearance is often signs of a much deeper, you know, problem. So I want to preface this whole conversation just by saying that, like, I'm obviously not wanting to be beautiful or against beautiful people, or you know, yeah, I'm not in that chat. But I think it would be very dishonest to leave out this other side of the conversation about being beautiful. Being beautiful, or being perceived as beautiful rather, because I truly am of the belief that everyone is beautiful to somebody. And at the same time, everyone is ugly or unappealing to somebody, you know. And it's how you take it in your stride. But And it's also, I wanted to say, about how you perceive yourself. But I want to focus now on when you are perceived as beautiful, because that's when people perceive you as something, their actions towards you change, their behaviors towards you change, and et cetera, et cetera. Being perceived as beautiful is a curse. I'll start with this. It's a curse in the sense that it makes you an object of desire, right? Which sounds like not such a bad thing until you really hone in on that sentence. And what is the first word of that? You are an object of desire, right? So the first thing I learned about that was, and the first thing I didn't expect was the level of objectification that you experience when you are perceived as beautiful. When you are perceived as beautiful, you almost become a means to an end. And I remember growing up when I kind of made my transition and I was like, oh, I'm decent now. I'm fairly attractive to some degree, at least. You know, when that shift kind of happened, it was a jolt to my system. And I think what made it even worse was when you come from not being perceived as attractive, you have a lack or a deficiency sort of in that attention from people for how you are attractive, right? So you come into this game with a complete deficiency in feeling valued for how you look or feeling like, you know, you are attractive or beautiful, you know? You might value yourself for other things, but you know for a fact that, okay, that when it comes to the beauty, when it comes to my physical, my external, that's where I exit the chat, right? It's a completely different world to now that being the only thing that people necessarily are interested in you for, you know? And I hope this doesn't sound like I'm just puffing myself up, like I'm like, ugh, I'm the most beautiful, and and everyone just wants to know. Like, that's really not my life. I am able to have a very, like, realistic, you know, when they say, like, rate yourself, I don't really believe in that, but I can realistically rate myself, and I'm pretty confident, and it's not going to be a 10 because I'm not, like, you know, delusional. I'm fairly realistic, to be quite honest, if I'm being honest, in how I physically rank, if I can say that, you know, because I'm so much more aware of all of my other qualities. So I know that, okay, maybe even if I'm, let's say, a 3 physically, that's fine. I've got a 10 somewhere else. My humor is on 10, that's for one. You know, I'm just making an example, but so I don't really, you know, I don't take it that deep, you know, because I know that beauty is in the eye of the beholder. But once you are perceived as beautiful, or once you start doing things, and I think this is also an important part of it, once you start playing into the trope of beauty and what that means, because beauty comes with a lot, you know, beauty is time, beauty is sometimes pain. And I know that's maybe not a popular opinion or a popular way to say it, nor do I think that it is the only way to go about being beautiful. But sometimes it is, right? Sometimes there's a hairstyle that's just really, like, painful, but it's beautiful, you know? So once you go into that being the only thing that people want you for, it can be a very slippery slope, you know? And you really have to be careful about making sure that you are still in control of that narrative, right? Whenever people's perceptions on what you, your appearances, whenever they change, you can't change your perception with that, right? So if before you valued yourself for all of these amazing things that your personality was and all of this and all of this, and then all of a sudden people start viewing you as attractive, you can't now make your entire identity based on just your attractiveness because you came into that. You were so much more before that was all people perceived you for, if that makes sense. And just because now people view you with that added characteristic of beautiful or baddie or hot or whatever, you can't now make that your entire identity. Another thing I didn't expect with beauty was there's going to be a lot of people who love you because you're beautiful. That one, I think, is it's contextual. It makes sense. We can all understand why. Most of the times, I hate to say it, but most of the times it's selfish reasons, you know. It's your beauty, but it's benefiting someone else in whatever way, which is why, you know, they want it. But what I didn't also expect was how many people would not like you because you're beautiful, right? If people perceive you as beautiful, they can just as much, like, that can be the reason that they don't like you just as much as it can be the reason that they like you or admire you or whatever the case may be. And this happens a lot, I think. I think a lot of women will relate to this. In the workspace, I can't speak from the perspective of a man. I'm not a man. So I will speak, though, from the perspective of a woman and say that a lot of the times in the workspaces as well, this happens, even in school, right? You'll have situations of if you are a young, beautiful, smart woman who, you knows how to do her work well and who is, just killing it in a general sense, if I can say it like that. You are above average, if I can say it like that. A lot of the times what happens is if there are older women, they might, and I don't mean that in a derogatory term, I just mean like the amount of life you've lived on this earth is more than me. A lot of the times if they're older women, they won't be comfortable with that, right? And this can even happen, like I remember I would always experience like this in relation to, let's say, guys and girls thinking that, I can't even call them girls, that's disrespectful, like women thinking that, oh, they're guys were into me or something like that. And these would be much older women, you know what I'm saying? And I would just be so confused about it because I would be on the receiving end of all of this animosity from people that, who knows, like, I actually admired you. I'm like, damn, she's doing this. That's the kind of woman I want to be. Until, you show animosity towards me. A little bongo nonos for, like, just because you perceive me as attractive. Never minding the fact that while you perceive me as attractive, there are a bunch of people who probably perceive me as not attractive at all. Nothing, nothing new to look at. Nothing, nothing major, And I don't know, like, to me, I always found that very confusing. But, like, I think now not so much. I think I understand it a bit more. And the psychology that happens, when you age. And I don't want to make it seem like the only thing that women do is think about men and which men are attracted to them and which men are attracted, because that's just a false reality. We have better things to do. But at the same time, it's something I've experienced, and it's something that I've heard a lot of women talk about as well. Even one of my even not women have told me this, that it's tough when you're in that kind of space, especially in the workspace, in the corporate space. It can be tough because you're dealing with animosity from people who maybe they just admire your beauty. Maybe that's what it is at the root of it, you know. But unfortunately, you know, it's human nature, you know. We all get jealous, we all get envious, we all experience feelings of inadequacy, and they're sometimes triggered by, you know, people and, you know, whatever they have that we think we need, you know. And another thing, okay, so now I have talked about the first problem being people only wanting you for your beauty once you become perceived as beautiful. The second thing is people hating you for your beauty. The third thing, which I think it actually ties more into the first point, but I want to expand more on this as well, is the idea of just being used, you know, for your beauty. Oftentimes, so here's what I think about beauty. I think that, like most things in this world, it is now a marketplace, right? What you look like is an entire marketplace, if I can say it like that. So a lot of the times nowadays, beauty is a transactional thing. And I think a lot of women, and not even only women, men, a lot of people just in general understand that these days. That's why you have the beauty industry on YouTube going so big, and you know why you have people just making videos of putting on makeup, or everything that is being sold to us is about beauty, because beauty in and of itself is a marketplace, right? And I think that's an important thing to understand. It's I think when you have a more, just be logistical about things and look at it as it is, then you're not going to be in your feelings about why was I born like this and they were born like that. When you understand that maybe they weren't born like that, you know, maybe there's things that they do to make themselves beautiful. That's what beauty is about, you know. And you just have to understand the game and then decide if you want to play it, is how I feel about that, you know. And understand that you don't have to play the game either, which I'm going to get to in a little bit of a later stage. But oftentimes beauty is seen as a trade-off, you know. It's seen as a transactional sort of currency, and you can use your beauty to get things that you want. And this is where I want to talk about the pretty privilege. I don't necessarily know where I stand, but I think in general, I do believe that pretty privilege exists, because I've 100% experienced things where I feel like I was treated, even just comparing from when I was in my like down bad era compared to when I started glowing up a bit more. There's a huge difference in how people treat you. That's just a fact. Anyone who denies that is lying out of their ass and out of their arse. And that's just a fact, you know. There is a complete difference in how people treat you when they perceive you as beautiful. And it goes back to that thing of your beauty is benefiting them in some way, either because they're going to consume it, or they're going to take advantage maybe of being around a beautiful person, or they're going to try and mimic you. Whatever the case may be, when people perceive you as beautiful, they 100% treat you differently, you know? And so I think what that leads to is we take advantage of that, you know, which I don't really think is necessarily, I don't think it's a bad thing, you know, because it's kind of like you get to a point where you realize it's like, whether or not I try to take advantage of it, you know, people are gonna take advantage of me because I'm beautiful. So I might as well also get my fair end of the deal. You understand what I'm saying? But I think the problem with that is that it leads to so much of that happening in the marketplace of beauty and in just society in general, that it makes it so easy to be used for your beauty, because now it's the only thing you're selling, if that makes sense. So that's why I started the story with, like, you know, I think it's important to value yourself, more importantly, for things other than your beauty. You know, not that you can't value yourself because you're beautiful. I think that's fine. If you say, I'm beautiful and that's something I value, that's fine. But it just cannot be the only thing, because what I've learned is that people are going to keep trying to get more and more for less and less and less. That's the economy, or that's kind of how the demand side of economics works. People want to get more for less. And at the end of the day, if you are the product, you are the object, right, of desire, and you have now made this your selling point, for example, people are going to keep trying to mess you over. And I promise you that people are getting smarter and smarter and smarter, and they will continue to try to get more of your beauty and whatever that means, whatever that embodies, whatever that signifies to them, more and more for less and less and less, which means that you are giving out more and more and more and more of yourself, you know, through giving out your beauty or whatever, for less and less and less and less. So I just feel like if you are gonna do it, like, just do it well, you know. And I don't know what that means, but I just want anyone who maybe is going through that transition just to be aware of that. I also want us to discuss, so there's this really cool creator that I've been following. I think I like her lives and her artistic, very, very amazing artist, Selkis Ray. And she created an organization or a group called the Ugly Girls Club. And when I first saw this, like, it really jolted my mind up, but it was so good for me to see such a different perspective. And her philosophy is, the motto actually is, I want to be defined not by how I look, or something to that effect, I should say. And to me, it kind of just jolted my mind up and opened my mind up to the other possibilities of how I can have a relationship with beauty, or how I can explore my beauty in a way that I'm not always losing, you know, because it gets to a point where you feel like you're always losing, you know, and you become paranoid. You become paranoid with relationships with people. You become paranoid with, even at work, you know, sometimes you question things. You question, what is it that people really want from me? When they ask me for that interview, or ask me, you know, to come back and to stay and have a chat, like, what is it that they really wanted? And I think that when I stepped into this idea and understanding, or realizing, I should say, that you don't have to necessarily subscribe to the game of beauty, you know? You don't have to subscribe to the game of beauty. And you definitely can, you know? And I don't want to make it seem like there's a right way to go about it, because I think that in a lot of ways, womanhood is under attack. And I definitely don't want to add fuel to the fire by kind of dictating to women what beauty should mean to them, or what, you know, any of that should be. But I just want to offer a different perspective. And that perspective is that you don't necessarily have to prescribe or subscribe to the game of beauty, right? And that doesn't mean that, because at the end of the day, people who perceive you as beautiful are going to perceive you as beautiful. There's nothing you can do about that, right? So whatever comes with that is going to come with that. But you don't have to make that your selling point. You don't have to make that everything you're about. If it's exhausting for you, if you feel like you can't do it. And another thing I want to discuss is, I feel like when I kind of stopped trying to be beautiful, that's when I kind of more so just, I don't know, I feel like that's when I had my glow up and inevitably was kind of perceived more as beautiful. Because when the focus was just more on nurturing myself, taking care of myself, dealing with the internal dialogue that was actually the problem, that was actually the one telling me that I'm worthless because this person didn't like me, or this person, or because that, when those things started to change, the natural beauty kind of just took care of itself, right? The beauty naturally just took care of itself is what I meant to say. And again, I'm not saying that you just don't put effort into yourself. That's a lie. But that's what is, or that's what it means, rather, to nurture yourself and to take care of yourself. Sometimes it really is. Like, you need to just have a spa day. You need to change your hair up. Other times it's deeper. Other times you need to go to a therapist and you need to have a conversation about those difficult things. Or you need to maybe decide if maybe medication is a good option for you or not, you know? Or you have to decide, like, maybe I need to consider sobriety. Maybe I need to consider celibacy. Whatever it is for you, in whatever stage of life that you're in, all of those things naturally add to you being beautiful. And one thing I've also found is whenever I try to be like the other girls, there's nothing worse than someone failing at trying to be something they're not. There is nothing worse at it, because people can see it. You know, people can see when you are trying to be something that you're not. You're suddenly doing things and dressing in ways that you never dressed before. You're wearing like pants that are two sizes too small for you just to try and show your butt. Like, oh, it's a hot mess. It's a hot mess. And trust me, I speak so candidly about these things because I've experienced all of this. You know, I have tried in various stages of my life. And I know I still, in certain ways, probably succumb to that pressure of trying to be like what I think is beautiful, right? And trying to do those things. And one thing I've learned is that it fails. It always fails miserably because it's very gimmicky, right? It looks like a gimmick. It's like, you would be so much more beautiful and perceived by the people who actually find you beautiful if you just were yourself, right? And that brings me to another point. Sometimes the issue is not that we're not beautiful. Sometimes the issue is that we are pretending to be something that we're not. So we experience a lot of these curses of beauty, but sometimes it's because we are trying to subscribe to an idea of beauty that is not aligned with who we are, you know? Oh, that was a lot. Let's just take a deep breath. I'm gonna take a sip of my black coffee. I really like coffee. Yeah, not always black, but I do like black coffee. But I just want us to think about beauty. And the reason I say this is because beauty is an important part of our lives, right? As I said, it's part of a marketplace. It's its own marketplace, and it has its own value in this world, economically, socially, and otherwise. So it's not something that I think we can just completely forget or completely act like it doesn't exist. But just know that you can constantly reinvent or rediscover your relationship to beauty, or how you perceive yourself as beautiful and what it means to you. There are people out here who are living their best lives, you know, living their best lives, and they're not concerned about how they look. And I've met a few people like that, and I've seen that in certain spaces. And I was just so grateful for that opportunity to see that it doesn't have to be the focal point of my life. You know, it doesn't have to be the most interesting thing about me. And it's not. It never will be. Never is, never will be, you know? I also want to say that I think how the curses of beauty come along is, you know, it kind of is in the hands of the people who perceive you as being beautiful, which is another thing about beauty that can be sometimes disempowering, is because it feels more and more like it's about, you know, others' perception of you. And I know that serves its purpose, because we don't live in our minds, we don't live alone, we, you know, live with other people, and we care about other people's perceptions of us at the end of the day, whether we like to admit it or not. And that's an important thing, you know, that makes sure that we are behaving well sociably, you know, we are socially responsible, is what I want to say. However, it can get to a point where it's disempowering to have the entire fate of, because think about it, like, some people really value this shit to the point where it's like, if somebody finds you unattractive, oh my, I just swore, okay, I will get better. If someone finds you unattractive or something, like, that can really mess you up if you have a low self-esteem. And it makes sense, you know, because it signifies a sort of rejection, and the problem is supposedly what you look like. But I also, what I wanted to say was, considering that a lot of these curses that come with beauty have to do with the people who are perceiving you as beautiful, I think it's also important to surround yourself then with people who have a bit more maturity, maybe, you know, a little bit more diversity, a little bit more exposure to different appearances, different experiences, different people, because it doesn't matter then, you know, because those people are going to perceive you as beautiful for your true beauty, you know. And so I think this is where I'm going to end the conversation off. I'm going to kind of end this by saying I don't like, it's a very difficult topic to discuss, mainly because I don't like ever feeling like I'm gatekeeping or trying to tell people what they need to value. Or trying to, and people do this a lot. Let's say they'll be like, ugh, you know, I love my natural queens, you know, no makeup, no this, no that. You know, that kind of trope is like not what I'm trying to do here. That's not my belief at all. I believe that everyone should be able to express themselves any way they wish to. However, I'm also going to keep it 100% real and say that I know a lot of us, and I know a lot of y'all are faking this to try and subscribe to this game of beauty, and you're trying to win a game that really doesn't need any more players, if I'm being honest about how I feel. You know, I don't think it needs any more players in the way it's being done, you know, necessarily. But again, I just want to say it's a difficult thing to talk about, because you know, people, you got to be able to do what you feel like, you know. And beauty, as I said, comes in all facets, you know. You think that, you know, you're Miss Natural, whatever, there are some people who don't like that. So to put down women who, you know, are into the glam world or whatever, it just doesn't make sense. It's just like, that's not what you ordered, don't eat it, you know, like, order and eat what you ordered. That's just how I feel about it. But again, as I said, I know there's a lot of people who are faking it. I know, because I've been there, and I know how easy it can be to succumb to that kind of pressure. That's why I wanted just to open up the conversation to the other side of what it means to be beautiful, and things to be aware of if, you know, beauty is something that you're really, like, passionate about or really into. Just some things to be aware of so that, you know, you don't lose yourself in the sauce of all this stuff. You know, as I said, like, beauty is beauty. Who doesn't love beauty? Who doesn't want to be beautiful? That's a ridiculous statement, you know, but understand that it doesn't have to be the focal point of anything of your life, you know. I understand that for some people it is, you know. Some people literally make a living out of their beauty, you know. They do certain businesses that are related to beauty. I myself am heavily interested in, you know, beauty and more so like skincare and all of those things. But these are just some of the lessons I think that I had to learn and things that made me take a step back on what my relationship to beauty is, right? And understanding where I am comfortable walking in that conversation and where I'm comfortable and where I feel like I'm being authentic, but also understanding when I feel like I'm going onto the side of being inauthentic. And the only person it matters to that you're being inauthentic to is yourself, you know? You need to be authentic with yourself so that the right people can perceive you and appreciate you. But they can't do that, you know, if you're hiding everything about yourself and trying to be everything that you think you need to be. It's played out, you know, it's really played out. And I wish for all of us, myself included, to have that courage and just audacity to be yourself. You know the audacity it takes to be yourself, you know. That's why, like, I admire, like, even if they're a bit cuckoo, like, I'm like, man, like, I wish, you know, I could just do that, you know. I have a great green, like, kind of, it's not neon, it's just a really cool green cardigan with, like, buttons, and it's, like, so cool. But, like, I could never wear it, mainly because I don't know how to style it. But I do think a part of me is like, oh my gosh, what kind of a cardigan is that, you know? And that's lame, you know, that's lame, because who knows, maybe when I wear that cardigan, there'll be someone out there who really likes it, and they sense and recognize something in me because I was able to be authentic and wear that thing that I wanted. So again, just some, you know, very lighthearted examples. And I didn't want to go too deep into this because I think this can be unpacked in so many ways. There's so many perspectives to this conversation. But with this one, I know it's not as cut dry, you know, because mainly because, as I said, like, I'm not really interested in dictating to other people how they should live their lives, because I don't like people doing that to me. However, I'm going to keep it real, you know, and I'm going to say those things that not a lot of us want to admit and say, you know, yeah, maybe I'm like trying to gimmick stuff, you know, maybe I am just trying to gimmick a personality or a persona that isn't really me. And maybe I just need to be honest about that, you know. I think having an understanding of the why, like, I think why is my favorite question, because it's just like, why? You know, it just takes you more and more to the root, in my opinion. It gets to a point, though, where you just have to accept the final answer. But we have to ask ourselves why, you know, because it's a big part of our lives, you know. It can be a big part of your life. So it's important to understand that relationship and to say why, you know, why? Why are you doing this? Why does this matter to you? Why does it matter what that person thinks you look like? Why? This is why I never sleep, because I stay up asking myself questions like these. But I think that's it for today's episode, you guys. As always, I'm so happy to record these episodes. So grateful for your continued support. And I will see you in the next episode of A Word with Kukuletsu.